1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A warm welcome for Julian Assange as he stepped off a plane in his native Australia about an hour ago after a stop at a U.S. court in Saipan, where he ended a long, drawn-out legal battle by pleading guilty to one count of publishing U.S. military secrets. His attorney, Barry Pollack.
He has, I think, spurred an important discussion in the United States about how to balance national security and freedom of the press. He has standed by his principles.
As part of his deal with the Justice Department, the WikiLeaks founder was sentenced to 5 years, already served. A secret trial's gotten underway in Russia for the Wall Street Journal reporter charged with espionage.
Journalists were briefly allowed into the courtroom before the closed door hearing. Evan Gershkovich stood in a glass box, his head shaved, sometimes smiling and waving at familiar faces. But the espionage charges against him are no laughing matter.
Evan Gershkovich.
The prosecutor says the Wall Street Journal reporter's been charged with collecting secret military information for the CIA, which he strongly denies. The trial resumes in August. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
The Biden administration's announced the president will pardon thousands of LGBTQ military service members discharged or prosecuted because of their sexual orientation. It provides a path for them to clear their records and apply for veterans benefits. Big loss for progressive Democrats in Washington. New York's incumbent Congressman Jamal Bowman, an opponent of the war in Gaza, has been defeated by George Latimer, an outspoken supporter of Israel.
We have to look at the arguments of the far right and the far left and say, you cannot destroy this country with your rhetoric and your arguments.
Latimer's campaign received millions of dollars from Jewish American political groups. Officials in southern Minnesota continue to keep a close eye on the century-old Rapidan Dam. It's still standing despite a partial breach that washed away at least one home. Blue Earth County Public Works Director Ryan Filgus.
We're going to continue with our investigation and analysis as flows hopefully subside. And we'll be working with the FERC and the Army Corps of Engineers on-site visits and evaluations on the integrity and the safety of the dam.
Brazil will become the first Latin American country to decriminalize pot after the Supreme Court there gave its blessing. But the Pope, who spent years ministering to addicts in Buenos Aires, is not a fan.
Una riduzione della dipendenza dalle droghe non si ottiene liberalizzando.
He called drug liberalization laws a fantasy that can only lead to more consumption. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I will be playing songs about down, not up, down. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee is busy getting ready for the Republican National Convention. Peggy Williams-Smith is president and CEO of Visit Milwaukee. She tells the Milwaukee Press Club that hosting the RNC is already paying off beyond July's convention.
We will make an announcement very soon in August of an event that would have never considered Milwaukee without the expansion and knowing that we were hosting the RNC.
More than 50,000 people are expected to come. A ruling by the state Supreme Court on Monday leaves taxpayers to cover half of a $128,000 bill for the services of two redistricting experts. The consultants were hired earlier this year by the court to review potential new legislative maps. They said maps drawn by Republicans were gerrymandered, and the legislature passed maps drawn by Governor Evers in February. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the NBA draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks enter the draft with a 23rd pick overall. Tomorrow, pick number 33. GM John Horst says the challenge is to make a good Bucks team even better.
Just being laser focused on that, drilling down in and figuring out what are the specific skill sets that will give us the returns we need in a tough playoff series. That the league keeps getting better. They're going to be better again next year. Boston's going to come back on fire, and they're going to be great. Like, Miami's going to be great. Hopefully, we're going to be great. Brooklyn could be healthy and be great. And so that's that's just to name a few.
Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their series today against the Rangers. A full recap coming up tonight. Last night, the Crew with a 3-1 win over Texas. It's the eighth consecutive series win at home for Milwaukee. Hobie Milner got his first major league start, but was pulled after two. Bryce Wilson pitched for six innings, but replaced in the ninth.
Hobie did his job. We're not going to ask Hobie to go more than that. Yeah, Bryce was rolling, and I just felt like, you know what? If we would have scored some runs in the eighth, we'd have definitely brought him up.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Lots of sunshine out there today. We'll get to 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the upper 70s with more rain and thunderstorms tomorrow night and again on Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Todd Albaugh.
Big show coming up. We have Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen, Matt Flynn is in talking about the U.S. Supreme Court, and General David May for the Wisconsin National Guard. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
The second cup of coffee is on. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Chippewa Falls. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here on this Wednesday morning, June 26th. Coming up in just a few minutes, this week's homeroom segment. Last week, we discussed the value of teaching civics as a way to promote democracy and citizenship. And this week, we're going to visit with a student from Eau Claire who recently won the first ever Wisconsin Civics B. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll learn about the goals of a Wisconsin group, the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy, and what they have learned talking to voters in battleground states about the issue of affordable child care. If you missed our conversation with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren that we aired in our last hour, you can always catch our past episodes as a podcast. You just have to head over to civicmedia.us. or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can look for Up North News Radio. And at the Civic Media site, you can find the stations around Wisconsin where we air from 6 to 8 every weekday morning and listen back to past episodes, including that conversation with Senator Warren. And you can join the show here anytime by phone or by text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can use the Civic Media app to call or text us. You can email the show radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on the Up North News Facebook page or the YouTube page or the Civic Media Facebook page, put a comment there underneath our live video feed. We may see it and put it up on screen as well. All right, we're going to learn more about the Civics Bee in just a second. Talk to our winner, Raya Musavi. But first, let's take a peek at the weather, as we always do this time every morning with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. I'm noticing you're in long sleeves already. You're ready for the cold, aren't you?
No. Okay. Short sleeves. Yep.
I look like long sleeves. All right, we're good. Yep. hands up.
It is kind of a dressier short sleeve shirt, which, of course, you know, only middle-aged men and nerds wear with any regularity.
He's dressed for comfort and fun.
I'm dressed like a middle-aged man because I'm only middle-aged for one more week.
Ooh, hey, you look sharp, Pat.
The big 6-0 is a week from today, and then I can no longer claim to be middle-aged. I'm an old man at that point. So can you tell I'm still adjusting to what's coming up? So as we head into this last week of anything resembling youth, Brittany, tell us about weather, which, by the way, started with quite a cloud deck up here in Chippewa this morning, but now we've got a beautiful bright blue sky. So what are we looking at for today?
Yeah, so we are looking at mostly sunny skies today. There's just a little bit of rainfall down in the southern parts of the state. I think that's south of Madison now and headed towards Janesville. Very, very light sprinkles and some clouds that way. The rest of the state brightening up. Beautiful skies. We are going to be breezy, though. Winds pulling out of the northwest, taking away the humidity. It's not going to be muggy today, but it is still going to be on the warmer side of things, where temperatures down south are still going to scrape 80, while further up to the north, we're going to fall into the upper 70s to mid 70s today. So a little bit cooler, much more comfortable, slightly breezy. High pressure takes over for both today and tomorrow. So another dry day. Two in a row, that's pretty rare, but we are going to see some rainfall as soon as Friday and into our Saturday morning. But temperatures staying well below average as we go into the weekend as well.
Sorry, I had the mute button on because in the other screen here, I was trying to figure out our latest sunset and our earliest sunrise, and I see that here in Chippewa, we've already come past The sunrises are already happening later. They were at 5:18 last week, and now they're at 5:19. But we are currently at the latest sunsets, 8:56, and we get that until a week from today. So, I mean, I am just so digging on these long days.
Me too. They're fantastic, especially when you know you have the fireworks coming up around the corner. You get sunset. Some people start lighting them off pre. You love it. It's beautiful.
It sure is. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. We've got a presidential debate coming up tomorrow, the first of two debates between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. And Civic Media stations will be carrying tomorrow night's debate from Atlanta. The Biden-Trump debate will get started around 8 o'clock. Coverage begins at 7:30 with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and with Todd Alba as well. We'll be talking to Todd Alba later this hour. But the topic of a presidential debate is just one more function of what we hope will forever be a working democracy. But to have a working democracy requires an appreciation of it, requires civic engagement, which requires a knowledge of civics. We had that discussion last week about the importance of civics and civic education in our schools from an educator standpoint. But now we want to get it from a student standpoint, because it turns out that through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, a series of state civic bees, not spelling bees, but civics bees, took place. And we're proud to say that we have, from the Eau Claire area, the winner of Wisconsin's first civics bee. Raya Musavi joins us. She's a student at DeLong. And Raya, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, because, again, we find this to be an extremely important topic, one that does not get talked about nearly enough, where we talk about the celebrity culture and sports and so many things like that. So what grades are you in between here from DeLong Middle School? You're 13, right?
Yep. I'm going into eighth grade.
Going into eighth grade. Okay. Let's go through the civics bee first. When did you first hear about it and decide that it was something you thought you might like to take part in?
So I heard about the civics bee from one of my teachers, and she was just handing out posters to the class. And I took a look and I thought, well, if you get to discuss like a issue in your community, and then you have an opportunity to get like prizes and get into the competition, well, I just thought that would be a great opportunity.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like a fantastic opportunity. There, you know, was an essay portion and the answering of trivia questions. Do you want to give a little credit to that teacher and what you've been learning about from your teacher there?
Well, the teachers who encouraged us to participate in the civics bee, so one of them was my English teacher, and she kind of introduced the civics bee to students. And then another teacher was DeLong's instructional coach, Beth Gray, and she really helped out the students who wanted to do the civics bee, and she really encouraged all of her students to write an essay, and then they had the option to submit it or not. So,
and so let's talk about civics and civics instruction and what you've picked up so far. First off, whether you're explaining it to your parents or explaining it to, you know, kids in elementary school about what to expect in middle school, how do you tell them what civics is, what civics courses are, and what they're about?
Well, we don't have any well-established civics courses, but in social studies, in seventh grade, we have a political science unit, but I'd say that's more about the basic structure of the U.S. government and not really involving civics. But to explain civics to someone else, I would say it's kind of the interaction between people and their government and how citizens can be involved and how politics work. So
sounds spot on to me, because it's a theme that I hit a lot. I mean, we talk about civic engagement, but really that's just another way of saying participation. And Raya, and we're talking to Raya Musavi, the first winner of Wisconsin's Civics Bee. When we talk about participation, a lot of people immediately think of voting. And that's fine. That's at the heart of democracy. But there's more than one way to participate in the way that your government works, local, at the local level, state level, federal level. Do you feel like you've got a better appreciation for the ways that just anybody can be a bit more involved in how their government works?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like doing the Civics Bee and writing my essay and just being a little more involved with civics, I've learned a lot about our local government and even like the federal government and how that all functions. And I've also learned that, like you said, there are other ways to be engaged in civics other than just voting. So I think actually, it's sometimes more influential to advocate for something at a more local level, because it's really hard to get actions done at the federal level. So if you really want something done locally, or just in your community, and you think you can do something about it, then I'd just say advocating for whatever it is you want to achieve, and then trying to get other people who agree with you, and then you can start talking to local policymakers, and then that's really a great way to be engaged and work towards your goals.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it's so much more than just voting. There is also volunteerism. There's advocacy, as you described. There's donating money, donating time. In fact, coming up in our second half hour here, we're going to be talking to advocates from a group that calls themselves the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy, and they're going to talk about how they advocate at all levels about making childcare a bit more affordable. Now, Raya Musavi, who won Wisconsin's first Civics Bee, talked about an essay and trivia questions. We'll talk more a bit about that on the other side of this commercial break. But first, let you know that the Brewers were winners 3-1 yesterday over the Texas Rangers. They will wrap up that series this afternoon. Pregame coming at 12:35 on some Civic Media radio stations. First pitch is at 1:10. More with Civics Bee winner Raya Musavi next. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Let's scream
for Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, Wisconsin.
Enjoy the best ice cream for miles from opening day to all those summer nights. You'll find the owners and staff there to serve you, and you'll recommend it to others too.
Great family-owned business. Love seeing their smiling faces. You just know they love being there. They go above and beyond for their customers. Ice cream is great too. So many different choices. There's something for everyone.
Swiftwater Ice Cream, where the choices and fun are endless.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
We can't be friends, but I'd like to just pretend.
Singer Ariana Grande is 31 today. Get all of the birthdays and history notes in our daily history lesson each morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, more from the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy and what they have to say about public support for affordable child care. Todd Alba joins us about 30 minutes from now. But right now, in our homeroom segment, we're talking to the winner of Wisconsin's first Civics Bee, Raya Musavi, part of a partnership. The contest was with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. And so Raya took part in that, and the DeLong Middle School student was competing against seven other finalists from around the state. By winning, she'll represent Wisconsin in the first ever National Civics Bee National Championship this fall in Washington, D.C. Now, Raya, the Civics Bee required students to write an essay on a community issue they think can be solved with the help of civics. Can you tell us a little bit more about your essay?
So the topic I chose to write about was the issues and flaws with our education system and how schools can't really meet the diverse needs of all students and really what we can and should do to fix that.
What kinds of things did you talk about in terms of being able to fix these things?
Well, so one example of the diverse needs would be that all students start at a different level with their like prior knowledge and experience with a topic. So it's not really helpful for all students to be learning the exact same lessons because they're just, if they already know the information, they're going to they won't really get anything out of the lessons. But if they don't know, if they're not at the level to be, if they're not at the right level, then it will be really difficult for them to really get the most out of the lesson and learn the material. So
sounds like so maybe things that are more interactive and not everything has to be rote memorization, for example, because you know I mean, because when I think about that, people think about like the when you hear Civics Bee, they of course immediately think of the spelling bee, and you know you can either engage in rote memorization of really hard words, or you can learn more about the you know the historical origins of words, you know their derivation, and basically you know be a better learner, not just a better memorizer. So I really like that approach that you're taking in the essay there. And then when they talk about answering various civics trivia questions, can you give us an example of one or two that either you got or one or two that you studied for and wanted to be ready for?
Well, the types of questions that I studied for, going off of the first two rounds in the regionals, I noticed that there were, in our study guide, it gave us lists of different information to learn. And I noticed that in the regionals, there were a lot of questions about court cases and laws and acts and then amendments. So that's mainly what I focused on. And the questions at state were a little more difficult because they were like, even if you knew the information, you still had to think about it. It was like, really elaborating on the material we had to study and connecting different systems and the knowledge we had of how government and civics work. So
would you, if you'd indulge me so that, you know, we're both just going to nerd out together for a minute here. Of all those things that you had to study, would you say that there was any one particular thing that you found most intriguing that you were like, that is really cool, I didn't know that? And the example that I'd give when you talk about cases, amendments, laws, things like that, is that I don't think until recently, especially because of the Dobbs decision, I think a lot of people thought that certain things were already in the law, but they weren't in the law. They were law because of a Supreme Court decision, but they weren't necessarily a law that was passed by Congress. And something that the Supreme Court passes one year, they could take away somewhere down the road unless you write it into federal law. So it's those little things that you learn about government that I find interesting. And I wondered if there was anything that, as you were studying, you went, that's cool, I did not know that before I started studying this.
Yeah, well, I agree with your point. I think that is really interesting to think about. And overall, one thing I learned that wasn't necessarily in the material, but one reason the Civics Bee even exists is because there were some really odd statistics about how apparently 50% of Americans, they couldn't explain the three branches of our government, and they couldn't name one Supreme Court justice. And I just thought that was crazy as well. That was really interesting to hear. So I'm glad we're doing more for civic engagement, and we have some new programs available to get students educated early on.
And Raya, you are speaking my language as far as, you know, to help. Part of the reason that Civic Media was founded, these radio stations, part of why Up North News was founded along with Courier Newsroom, was just to increase that base of civic knowledge so that people would think of themselves as smarter voters and not be intimidated by civics, but actually feel empowered the more that they learn about how their government works. And by the way, quick disclaimer for the listeners, you'll notice that in all of this, we didn't get into party politics. This isn't about Democrats, Republicans, anything like that. This is every American citizen, every participant in democracy has some value for the position that they bring into their activism, whether it's as a candidate, as a volunteer, whatever. So Raya, having won the Wisconsin Civics Bee for the first time, I know, again, at 13, you got a little time here, but what are you thinking about in the future? What things interest you as potential careers down the road?
Well, I have a lot of interests and a lot of different career paths that I would love to choose. But for now, I'm thinking something that I've also wanted for a while, for as long as I can remember. I've always thought I would like to be a teacher. So I'd say that's one of my main career interests.
I could not think of any better way to go forward and take that that base of civics knowledge and carry it through and help other people appreciate government, appreciate service in one form or another as a voter, as a participant, as an advocate, or as a teacher. Ryan Musavi from DeLong Middle School in Eau Claire won Wisconsin's first Civics Bee and will be competing in Washington, D.C. this fall. Ryan, it was a real pleasure to meet you. Congratulations, and we wish you all the best in D.C. later this year.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here so much. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about advocacy and civic engagement, this time with a group, the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. That's coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
How do you tell the story of a soybean to an audience that may never have actually been near a soybean field, may never have actually seen a soybean? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. That was the tall order for director Sam Pinkstone. He partnered up with U.S. Soy to create a documentary that does just that. And along the way, he learned a little something, too.
When I first started making it, I never expected to be on the side of a volcano in Hawaii telling a story about how soy can help us get to Mars. You know, it was just really surprising. But we learned how farming is actually run, you know, mainly by small family operations or relatively small family operations. And the goal for the farmer is to look after the land, to pass down to the next generation. So, you know, there's many surprising stories for massive industry, but also really heartwarming stories for individuals and individual businesses as well.
That's Sam Pinkstone. He is the director of a new documentary that's out on the A&E Network, Groundbreaking, A Story of Innovation, U.S. Soy. Now, you can see the documentary. All you need to do is jump online, go to ussoy.org/groundbreaking. Pinkstone's already at work on the second documentary focused in on soybean story of innovation, supported in part by soybean checkoff dollars.
Are you looking to sell your excess construction equipment? Trust the pros at Steffes Group to get the best return on your investment. Steffes is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. Our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service, and we work with you every step of the way to ensure a smooth and successful auction process. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a sales rep near you and discuss your options today. That's steffesgroup.com. STEFFESgroup.com.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal. And yesterday at Decatur Dairy in Broadhead, USDA Undersecretary Jenny Lester Moffitt announced that they were awarding $12 million in federal funding to four dairy innovation centers across the United States, including the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance. That alliance is run by the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association and the Center for Dairy Research. The alliance will be eligible for about $3 million of that total award to support product research and development, technical assistance, education, and grants to dairy businesses. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Lots of sunshine out there today. We'll get to 82 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 54. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the upper 70s with more rain and thunderstorms tomorrow night and again on Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Monday, you're already late for work. You scramble, putting on pants while brushing your teeth in the dark. And you're starving. Starving. But the only thing in the fridge? Friday night's leftovers. Oof. A three-day-old curry beef burrito for breakfast? Big gamble. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells? Better odds. We're your can't-miss hotspot for big-time casino fun. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar & Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with seven locations statewide. Monk's Bar & Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates. We got a whopper of a Wednesday edition with former Congressman Joe Walsh, Bill Press, our buddy, and Charles Franklin, New Marquette Polling.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Come on, A little save the country from the fifth dimension. Billy Davis Jr. is 84 years old today, 85 years old today, still performing along with his wife, Marilyn McCoo. All right, well, we heard from a true future VIP here in Wisconsin with the winner of the Wisconsin Civics Bee, and you heard her talk about how there's more to civic engagement than just voting. Now, you can always step it up from there and vote more often and vote in every election, but there's also, you know, donating, there's donating money, there's donating time, and there's outright advocacy. And we saw a note about research that had been done and was being shared about Wisconsin attitudes toward affordable daycare by a group called the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. We were shared on that information by Corrine Hendrickson, who's been a tireless advocate for affordable child care in Wisconsin. And we are very fortunate to have Sandra Goldshine here now from the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy to learn more about that. Sandra, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I am good. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, nice to have you here as well. So let's start with the basics of what the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy is, both from a national and from a Wisconsin standpoint.
Absolutely. So the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy is fighting for a future where all people can afford to take care of themselves and care for their loved ones while earning a living. And this year, we are working to elect leaders across the country, leaders like Senator Baldwin and President Biden, who support policies that lower costs for families. That's policies like affordable childcare, what you were just talking about, as well as paid family and medical leave and significant investments in care, home and community-based care for the aging and the disabled.
So the response that you hear often from the right side of the political spectrum is, you know, why these should be priorities for government. Why should government be, you know, helping out with daycare affordability and paying for people to take time off from their jobs? And I'm sure that your research and other attitudes really come back to the investments that you make in family infrastructure are good for the economy writ large. Is that the main response, or what else do you say to folks who say, why would government be involved in these kinds of family issues?
So it's really interesting. When we talk to folks, and you know, the research that you were talking about was a project that we embarked on with a firm called Grow Progress, we were really interested in learning more and understanding more about people's attitudes about the government's role in ensuring affordable childcare. And so we did some research and asked that question. And what we found was that there was an overwhelming number, it was about 77%, that believe that the government should be making childcare more affordable for families. And that lines up with what we've been seeing in other research. And so there's a real trend emerging in people believing that government has a responsibility to ensure affordable childcare for people. And we did that research in Wisconsin, as well as Pennsylvania and Montana. And I think that shows the divide between what people expect in terms of getting the tools and opportunities that they need to both, as I said, take care of their families and earn a living. We see politicians across the country really take things like childcare for granted and don't consider how interconnected it is with a person's individual economic prospects. And that's where I think we get into this idea of the care economy. You know, the unpaid and paid labor services that make it possible for people to work and make it possible for people to be cared for. And it really undermines the broader economy itself. It is the backbone. And so while politicians might be saying that people really understand that this is what is required for families to thrive and for the economy to thrive as well.
We're talking to Sandra Goldshine, the executive director of the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. And we spoke in the last hour with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and we closed on a note about infrastructure, that we've talked a lot about roads and bridges and internet and things like that. But there's also the family infrastructure. There's the care infrastructure. And she talked about the necessity to to again invest in that. And again, at the risk of repeating myself on the question, but I feel like it's something that can't be affirmed enough, is that for anybody that says, well, are these government handouts, we're really talking about the choices you make to invest in an economy, not just building a bridge, but helping mostly moms, but certainly a fair share of dads who would like to be part of the working economy, but who need assistance getting there. That choice to invest in a bridge, that choice to invest in a family, those are both equally valuable choices for the American economy overall.
Yeah, I mean, Senator Warren has really been a leader in articulating this, and I don't think I can say it better than she can, but I can underscore what the challenges are that families across the country face, including and especially families in Wisconsin. The fact is that 77% of working people, that's more than 2 million people in Wisconsin, don't have access to paid leave through their jobs. And the cost of childcare for a family of two costs more than in-state college tuition. It's a bigger strain on the family's budget than housing. It can cost between like $10,000 and $13,000 per kid per year. And so it forces people to choose between staying in the workforce or not. And that is a crisis for working families, as you said, especially for women, especially for women of color. And it affects our economy. There is a childcare crisis in this country. We've seen, we had a big investment through the American Rescue Plan to help keep child centers open. And Corinne has been a huge advocate in drawing attention to this. When that funding expired this past fall, it has caused all of these childcare centers to close. And our partners at the Century Foundation did some really interesting research that showed how much money individual families would lose because they no longer could have the childcare centers that allow them to work. How much in taxes states will lose because people are leaving the workforce to have to care for their family. So you are 100% right. Childcare, the ability to care for your aging and disabled loved ones, having the supports to do that is what makes our economy go, just as important as the roads that you need to drive to work. You need to have the tools and opportunities to support your family and earn a living.
Let's talk about that support from the standpoint of a level playing field. We often talk with folks from the Main Street Alliance who express the feelings of their members who are small business owners. They are employers, and they would like to pay more than minimum wage. They would like to provide paid family leave. They would like to provide a host of things that would help them retain excellent workers. But if they do it, but a competitor across the street, especially a bigger competitor, doesn't do that, then it threatens their business. They're at a competitive disadvantage, and you can't take good care of your employees if you can't be an employer anymore. So where in your mind does that put the value of a level playing field in areas that go beyond just say a minimum wage, but go into areas like paid family leave?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're speaking to the need for a federal solution to this. This challenge for working families, this challenge for our economy. And that's why, at the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy, we are laser focused on building the power that is needed to pass these policies at the federal level. So it doesn't matter what state you're in, what county you're in, or who you're working for, that there is an investment that is led by the federal government into the systems that we need that, again, support people's ability to both earn a living, to contribute to the economy, and to be taking care of their families. And so this cycle in 2024, we are out there in states across the country right now talking to folks about where their elected officials how they have supported these investments in care infrastructure and encouraging them to continue to contact them or to contact them for the very first time to share where their challenges are around this issue, because we see this across every single person that we talk to has a story about their challenges affording caregiving and letting their elected officials know that they expect them to deliver results, you know, in Congress.
Can you as well talk about, and forgive me for getting a bit in the weeds on this, but let's talk about affordable childcare versus accessible versus, you know, free. I know that some people, for example, really get hung up on, they may hear about diversity, they may hear about inclusion, but then they hear the word equity and suddenly they think that it, you know, guarantees equal outcomes for everybody no matter what. Do you feel that there's also, you have to be careful on how you discuss what exactly is the best path forward for affordable childcare versus free versus accessible? How do you express that?
I mean, so when we're talking to voters, we are, which is a lot of what we do, we are talking in the language that folks use. And so it is, what we find is really helpful is that we're looking for affordable, quality childcare. People should know that their kids are being taken care of, and that they're doing it in a way that does not break the bank or force them to have to leave their jobs. So it's a really important component of our program that we lift up the stories and voices of the way that folks think about this in in everyday language.
I was just looking at the text line here, and I've got one from Jack and Merrimack, who says, why would government be involved in family issues? Well, as he points out, helping families helps us all. But I'm wondering when our so-called representatives forgot there's this thing called the Constitution that starts out, promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And I couldn't agree more that when you're talking about, you know, what do we base our government on and our Constitution, you talk about promoting the general welfare. When you talk about how can you secure the blessings of liberty, the best way to do that is by looking out for each other and not just, you know, essentially economic Darwinism.
Yeah. And I really want to center the fact that I don't think folks are looking for handouts here. They're looking for the tools and opportunities that they need to build a thriving life. So I am a mother of two young children, right? Like getting on the phone at this early in the morning requires someone to come in, right? Like and to help. And that's so I can do my job, which is talking to you about our program. And that's just like one example of the examples that we hear when we talk to folks at the doors every day about how challenging it is and what we just need is systems, like updated systems. Our economic system is based on this really outdated notion that one person goes to work and one person stays home to be able to care for children or aging adults or people who are sick and need help. And that's just not how our economy is set up anymore. And I think, you know, going back, there's no one who says this better than Senator Warren. And it is, we need like a system update to reflect the economic realities of American families.
So for folks who heard this and they want to know a bit more, are there particular things that you would suggest they do in terms of taking action to advance these kinds of goals?
Well, the first thing that you started off with when we started talking about is voting. Find out where, you know, what the record is of the folks who are running for office to represent you. We all already know that these are top of mind issues. High cost of living at this moment is number one on people's minds. And we know that caregiving is front and center in there. And so find out what your elected officials have done. I know, you know, Senator Baldwin has been a long-standing champion of lowering the cost of caregiving for working families. She comes out at it with her own personal experience of caring for members of her family, but up and down state legislatures, find out where people stand on this issue, let them know that it's important to you, and then vote your values.
And you can learn more as well at familyfriendlyeconomy.org. Sandra Goldschein is the executive director. Sandra, thank you so much. Great to meet you. Look forward to visiting again soon.
Yep. Thanks, Pat.
All right. When we come back, Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show joins us to preview this afternoon's program next. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wausau Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes, just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit wausauweightloss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
I think maybe we should audition new theme songs for the Todd Father. Chris Isaac's birthday today brings us They Did a Bad, Bad Thing to Todd Alba and what he's doing today. But first, this reminder, from Civic Media gear to shirts for your local Civic Media stations, the Civic Media Store is a great way to support Civic Media and look good doing so. You can just head over to civicmedia.us, click store in the upper right corner. And for folks watching on social media, you can see at this point, Todd is showing off his very manly healthy chestal region with a Civic Media t-shirt.
I didn't even plan that.
Filled with circles. It's almost like it turned Wisconsin into a lava lamp. But what it is instead is all the radio station signals from the Civic Media radio stations. And yeah. I've got that exact same T-shirt.
I love this one.
You look way better modeling that thing. So, celebrity spokesmodel.
Tune into your community. That's what it's about. Yeah.
Celebrity spokesmodel Todd Alba joins us now. Thank you again for filling in on Monday as I extended the trip to the land that the mouse built. Tony writes on YouTube, the Todd Father is back to reclaim the 6 to 8 show.
No. I would like the words "welcome back, Connor." Welcome back, Patrick. I'm always happy to do it on occasion, but much happier when you're there in that chair. So,
well, no, thank you for doing it, and for Dr. Lyerly again, who comes in as she often does on Monday mornings, which happened to be the 2-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision. So there was a lot to say about that, and I'm sure it was a great decision. I would like to play for you first, though,
to have Dr. Lyerly, not Dobbs. Did you hear Trump bragging about that, by the way, saying everything's turned out great? Everything's turned out great since I did that.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Let's switch gears for a moment here, because Eric Hovde, professional rake stepper, has stepped on another rake. This time, he went to the Juneteenth celebration in Milwaukee, and he appeared on a local radio show, I gather.
This is radio gold. Go ahead.
This is Eric Hovde being asked about what he's learned about Juneteenth and black culture. Go ahead, Mr. Bach.
I'm running against Tammy Baldwin.
Eric Hovde in the building.
In the street.
What are you doing out at Juneteenth?
In the street.
Are you here having fun? This is one heck of a
he's
party.
He's partying
really
on.
Enjoying
but
Juneteenth.
If you want to run that ahead to, I think it's a minute 29 or so in there, where he really gets into the notion of what the heck he's doing there. Yeah, at a $1.29, he gets asked what he's learned about black culture through this Juneteenth celebration. And here's what he gives us.
Is there any
anything that you're going to take away from this that you didn't know about black culture before that you know of today?
Look, I've spent a lot of time in black culture, and as Tori knows, I've spent a lot of time in places like Africa because I have homeless shelters for abandoned kids and rescuing kids out of the streets.
All right. And thank you. Thank you. Eric Hovde in touch with black culture because he has supported homeless shelters in the continent of Africa.
I it just makes me want to go to
Africa,
the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon. Where it's like Africans are African, but we are Africa.
I can't believe he did that.
Greg did such a great job. He didn't just bury his face in his hands. He tried to bury his whole head because you just get such a cringe when he talks. And we started the show talking about Republicans saying that Joe Biden is all jacked up. He's going to be all jacked up for the debate. Go back and find this Eric Hovde clip and tell me that's not the definition of being jacked up in terms of being, shall we say, overly nervous, you know, and overcompensating for his comfort level in being there. And then to have it come out again, how would you like to be one of his staffers? What have you learned about the black culture? Well, I set up homeless shelters in Africa.
Sure. But to your point, Pat, I mean, you've seen this, not you, but other politicians. We've all seen it. Anybody worked in politics, you know, the staffer is going, okay, Mr. Hovde, we're going to this Juneteenth celebration here for talking points. No, I got this. I got this.
I got this. Look at the cards. Look at the cards.
No. The cards go away. I spent an hour on the radio yesterday in Chicago with Joan Esposito on her show. First off, thank you. Second, why you would book me for an hour is a mystery, but thank you. But we had that same discussion about how it's so much like the book and the movie Game Change, where they're trying to, well, I mean, you talked to Trigvi and others, they're trying to get Sarah Palin to be on message. And here are some cards. And here's something. Oh, no, I don't need that. You know, I'm the governor. Or I'm a CEO, so I already know everything. And it's God bless the staffers that try. So you will be, along with Terry Bell, anchoring civic media coverage of the debate tomorrow night with the jacked up Joe Biden and the not at all Adderall jacked up Donald Trump. And what kind of expectation do you have for this thing?
That they both survive at the end? I don't know.
Honestly, is there anything that's going to happen other than each one is just going to try to get under the other person's skin? That this is really, you know, short of actual fisticuffs, this is their only chance to really try to inflict something on them, meaning embarrassment or humiliation or just talking over them or whatever. And I say this in a mournful sense. I think that debates properly done have tremendous value, but I just don't know what to expect from this.
Well, I think you have to try, right? And Bill McCashin, who I know has been on Civic before, former chief of staff to Tommy Thompson, former commerce secretary, he was on another network, and they asked him, you know, is Trump going to show? And Bill McCashin said, yep. And they said, will he do a second one? And McCashin said, nope. And you know, I think that might be it. I think you're right, Pat. I think that both sides are going to try to get their candidate to throw the other one off. It is unique, at least in recent times, in that A, there will not be a live studio audience. B, CNN says they are in fact going to cut microphones off after the allotted time. And C, there will be no book or binders of women, as in the Mitt Romney days. There will be no binders in front of them to give them cliff notes. It's going to be the candidate, a pad of paper, a pencil or pen, and a glass or bottle of water. That's it. And so you're really going to see these guys. I would use the term stripped down, but
let's not.
You're going to see them as who they are.
Yeah.
I think Biden. And again, the expectations are trying to be set really super high. And we're out of time, which is exactly what's going to happen on Thursday night. What? My time?
And now we cut Todd's mic off and we say thank you, Todd Alba. He'll be back at noon. You guys all have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Remember WikiLeaks? Next up, we'll discuss Julian Assange, villain or hero.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.